pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright.
What God is after is that when you experience the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you do not despair over your failures, but revel in the grace of God that can transform your life.
That's Pastor Alan Wright. Welcome to another message of good news that will help you see your life in a whole new light. I'm Daniel Britt, excited for you to hear the teaching today in the series Victorious Living, as presented at Renolda Church in North Carolina. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource right now. It's a book written by Pastor Alan called God Moments, and it can be yours for your donation this month to Alan Wright Ministries. As you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at PastorAlan.org. That's PastorAlan.org. Or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on this later in the program. But right now, let's get started with today's teaching. Here is Alan Wright.
A group of people for their correction and becoming insensitive, in which there is a harm that is done. You know the difference between those things. That really, in the end, we wonder sometimes, did I cross that line? And I know what he feels like. You know, honestly, if I were to look back over the last 30 years of ministry and you say, what are your biggest regrets? It would be, without any hesitation, if I were to be transparent with you, it would be those moments. I wish I could say it was just once, but it'd be a handful of times in which there was needed correction, but I brought it in the wrong way, the wrong time, or the wrong place, and hurt somebody. And Paul's wondering, did he do that? And he's just overjoyed that now Titus has come back and realized that God had used it all to his glory and to their good. And so at verse 6, he says, God comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted by you. Which is to say, it's kind of like as a parent, if someone loves your kid, they've loved you. If someone comforts someone that you love, it's like they've comforted you. That's what he's saying. As he told me of your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so I rejoiced still more. And he came back and he gave a report of, the Lord did an amazing thing through your letter. The people were convicted. They repented. They changed their way of thinking. They had a great longing. It seems like probably one of the things that needed to happen was they were tolerating perhaps a false teacher. Perhaps they were tolerating sexual immorality, but it was like something in them, they woke up and they said, this needs to change. And in it all, something was beautifully and wonderfully restored. And so Paul is celebrating that. So that's the context of this letter. And then he comes here to talk about the godly grief versus the worldly grief and what the difference between these two things are. The word that is used here for grief is a Greek word that can mean distress or suffering or sorrow or pain. Grief doesn't exactly sum up what is meant by this word, this Greek word lupe, or its verb form lupeo. It is a word that is used when the disciples are in Gethsemane and Jesus had asked them to pray, but they fell asleep. And it says that they were sleeping for sorrow, for lupe. It's the word that's used in Revelation chapter 21, when we are told in heaven, in the new heaven and new earth, there'll be no more sorrow, there's no more lupe. And this is a word that is often used only in this sense, that the lupe, the sorrow we have, will turn to joy. It was interesting in my study of the New Testament references to this word, I realized there are no instances in which this idea of grief or sorrow is celebrated as an end unto itself. In other words, God has no desire for you to be in sorrow for sorrow's sake. There are many instances in which there's something good that comes from the sorrow, but God takes no delight in his children suffering for suffering's sake. Normally, the way this is interpreted by commentators and preachers is essentially to say the difference between worldly sorrow and godly sorrow is that worldly sorrow or worldly grief is where someone is sorry and feels sorrowful because they've been caught and now there are consequences. Whereas what godly grief is the kind of grief you have over your sin itself. And this is only partially right, but of course there is a very important distinction between those two. We don't want to be like the girl who regretted breaking off her engagement with her boyfriend, and she wrote this letter, "Dearest Tommy, no words could ever express the great unhappiness I have felt since breaking our engagement. Please say you'll take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart, so please forgive me. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Yours forever, Marie. P.S. Congratulations on winning the state lottery." Now, this is... there are times in our lives where we feel sorrow, but it's mainly because the consequences of our mistake. And there is something much deeper than that. But I don't think that's what Paul is talking about here, because it's not a context where the Corinthians would be sorrowful because they'd been caught in making a mistake or they were going to be punished in some way. He's talking about two different ways of responding to the letter of correction that he had sent. He had sent them a warning. He had sent them a correction. And in other words, how they responded to that was the key. I got a chuckle this week reading about a little girl who came to her elementary school teacher and said, "Ma'am, I don't mean to scare you, but my daddy said, if my grades don't improve, somebody's going to get a spanking." Paul had written this letter to the Corinthians, and he's just saying, somebody's going to get a spanking.
That's Alan Wright. And we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Ever been facing a problem when a well-meaning Christian friend said something like, "You just need to have more faith"? The problem with such an exhortation, of course, is that telling someone that they ought to have more faith doesn't actually help a person have more faith. We all want more faith, but what can we do to get more faith? In his highly acclaimed book, God Moments, Pastor Alan Wright describes one of the most important biblical pathways to building your faith: remembering God's presence in your life. When you see God's faithfulness yesterday, you'll find it easier to trust him tomorrow. Your life is full of God moments, and through Alan Wright's teaching series and book, you'll have a treasure map to help you discover them all. When you make a gift to Sharing the Light Ministries today, we'll send you a very special bundle. It's Alan Wright's faith-building book, God Moments, and the CD album of the series that he has preached on the subject. We'll send you both when you make your gift today. It's time to discover your God moments from yesterday and be filled with fresh faith for today. Call us at 877-544-4860 or come to our website, sharingthelight.org.
Today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
Would they embrace this moment of discipline and grow from it, or would it cause them to withdraw in their own pride and become defensive about it? And he's so pleased that what happened led to life. Can I give you a couple examples biblically, stark examples? The first, two very familiar characters in the New Testament, both of whom were given the privilege of being intimately associated with Jesus for 3 years of intensive ministry training, both of whom were in special places of privilege even within that 12, one of whom was the treasurer for the group of disciples and followed with Jesus to fund their ministry. He was entrusted with all that. The other always seemed to be at Jesus' side. Both of these men, however, had a moment in their life where Jesus predicted point blank that they would betray him and deny him. One man, Judas, and one man, Peter. Have you ever thought about how similar their stories are? Jesus said, Peter, after Peter had said, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. And he told Judas, whatever you're going to do, do it quickly. He knew what Judas was going to betray him, and he forecast it point blank. Both of them were utterly selfish in their moment of temptation. Judas for 30 pieces of silver, and Peter so that he would not jeopardize his own well-being when Jesus was being taken off. Both, I think, Judas and Peter envisioned Jesus becoming an earthly political king as a Messiah. They didn't understand it. Both had a rejection of Jesus that was heinous. You think of Judas's offense being so horrible because it led to the crucifixion. But Peter, when he denied Jesus, most scholars agree the third time that he denied him, he swore, he cursed. You ever know that? That Peter, the third time he denied Jesus, said, I don't know the blank, blank man. And you might think that Peter had real remorse and Judas didn't, and that was the difference between the two, but that's not so. The text said in Matthew 26 that after Peter heard the rooster crows, he remembered the saying of Jesus, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. And the text says, and he went out and wept bitterly. But look what happened with Judas. Judas was even more remorseful. Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned. He changed his mind. And he brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. You can't show more remorse than that. But Judas went and hung himself. And Peter became the preacher of Pentecost, who was used by God to build his church and change the history of the world. What's the difference? See, simply feeling bad about your sin is not what God is after. What God is after is that when you feel bad about your sin, you become incredibly hopeful about your future. What God is after is that when you experience the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you do not despair over your failures, but revel in the grace of God that can transform your life. What happened to Judas was worldly grief that led to death, and what happened to Peter was godly grief, which led to salvation and life, not just for him, but for so many. Let me give you another example. Luke chapter 23 reads like this, starting at verse 32. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God? You not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed justly, for receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, Truly, I say to you today, you will be with me. I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Both were heinous criminals. Both deserve punishment. Both were next to Jesus in their final moments. Both spoke to Jesus passionately. Both were soon to die. Both were utterly powerless in their situation. And both wanted to be saved, but in a different way. But they were oh so different, weren't they? For the one who spoke to Jesus, and the word is actually, it's translated railing against him, it's actually the word blaspheming against him. The one is just blaspheming and railing against him, while the other is in utter humility. So this one thief, still, even on the cross, where he is at his point of absolute humiliation and weakness, has no actual humility and is trying to control Jesus by mocking him. But the other, realizing his brokenness and his need, reaches out to Jesus. The one thief expected no gift. He rejected grace and mocked Jesus. The other was utterly eager to receive life, utterly eager to receive grace. And so one thief goes to heaven with Jesus, and the other thief gets to go to hell that he desired. You do understand people choose their hell. If you ultimately want to say no to the grace of God, he lets you. And you can go live for eternity with other people who want no gift from God, who would rather, that thief would rather die on that cross than to humble himself next to the Savior of the world. How different worldly grief and godly grief, how differently we can receive it. There's a huge difference. Ultimately, I would say it's the same as the difference between condemnation and conviction. Let me spell it out. The devil shames and condemns. God gives grace and brings conviction. Let me just say it again. The devil shames and condemns, but God brings grace and conviction. It's absolutely essential to know the difference in the voice of hell and the voice of heaven. Condemnation, that is worldly grief, says you are a mistake. But what godly grief, what conviction of the Holy Spirit says is you have made a mistake, and you can change and you can grow. What condemnation says is because you've done wrong, you are less loved. But what conviction says is because you are so loved, I want to tell you how you can grow and change. Condemnation always drives you away from God, but conviction draws you near God. Condemnation, you believe something is taken from you, but the conviction of God, something is given to you. It's a gift to you, an absolute gift to you. Condemnation makes you feel doomed, but conviction from God makes you feel hopeful. Listen, if you are under conviction of the Holy Spirit, you're going to find yourself maybe being really, really, really sorry for your sin, but so, so hopeful about your future because God cares enough to move you on in His grace. He's transforming you. In condemnation, there's no repentance. There's no change of mind. Because when you come under a spirit of condemnation, beloved, whether you're in the presence of God or just talking to your spouse or a coworker, if what happens inside of you, and the only thing that happens inside of you is it comes through a filter of shame, you're immediately going to be put on the defensive, and your insecurities are going to cause you to either want to get away or to try to attack, and you won't even be able to sift through it to see, is there truth here for me? But when you have a deep security in the love of God, when you have the assurances by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit that you're His child and nothing could ever separate you from the love of God in Jesus Christ, then you begin to look towards your future and your life with God such that you realize that you can be changed, you can be conformed more and more every day to the image of Christ. And who wouldn't want that? I was thinking of this years ago, and I love golf, and I'm not very good at it, and I try, and if I get away from it a little bit, it's like I've forgotten how to play, but I still love it. And I was just reading years and years ago when Greg Norman was the number one golfer in the world. I saw this article in a golf magazine that said Greg Norman would come and do a corporate outing, but he charged $200,000 for one day with your business to come and just hit balls with you and teach and fraternize with the people. And that was a long time ago. That was a lot of money. And I tried to research at that time how much would it cost to get Tiger Woods, who was the pinnacle of his game at that time, and I realized you couldn't even get him. He wouldn't even do him. He'd be $1 million if you could get him. But I tell you who I want to come and spend the day with me right now, and that's Jordan Spieth. Me and Jordan. Just get together. We'll talk about the British Open, and let's say I spent $1 million. Let's say I had it, and let's say I blew it, and I wanted to give it to Jordan Spieth, who doesn't need it, but he was going to come coach me for a day. And he says, "All right, Alan." He said, "Let me see you line up there." And I line up. He said, "All right." And all of a sudden, he comes over. He says, "Wait a second. Let me see that grip. Let's turn the right hand here and make that just a little bit stronger grip." Can you imagine? I'm with the greatest golfer in the world, spent $1 million to have him, and turning and saying, "Don't tell me how to hold a golf club." It's ridiculous, right? You got the greatest coach, the greatest teacher, greatest player in the world. Don't you want to open up every part of your thinking for every correction that he could bring to you? The Holy Spirit, Jesus called the helper. He wants to help you, not hurt you. Worldly grief and godly grief. It's not about a turtle's death. It's about the deepest transforming, life-giving power of God coming into your heart by faith. You can come into the presence of God without fear of condemnation and let Him change everything. And that's the gospel.
Alan Wright. And today's teaching, Godly Grief versus Worldly Grief, as we continue in our series on 2 Corinthians. It's all about victorious living, and Alan is back here in a moment with additional insight on what we've just heard for our life and today's final word.
God's always been there. In every moment you narrowly escaped from danger, in every moment you were surprised by a blessing, in every moment you just knew the direction to take, God was there. Your life is defined by countless moments of God's grace. Perhaps they've been covered by the sands of time or have just gone unnoticed in the rush of life, but your life is full of God moments. When you make a gift to Sharing the Light Ministries today, we'll send you a special bundle, both Pastor Allen's heart-stirring book, God Moments, and a CD album containing all his audio messages on the subject. Make your gift today and start your spiritual treasure hunt to uncover your God moments. How you remember yesterday will determine how you live tomorrow. The gospel is shared when you give to Sharing the Light. This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support. When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Sharing the Light Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860 or come to our website, sharingthelight.org.
Alan, I know that you have a big heart for healing, yeah. and grief has to be a big part of life. I think it's something we can't escape, but there is a proper way to do that. And I think you're saying it here. It's all in our response.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, anytime, especially as regards today's message, anytime that there's been the kind of grief of where you've messed up, right?
Right.
Well, you grieve that and you have remorse over it. And that's going to be a natural thing. But what condemnation does is it pushes you away from God, whereas conviction of the Holy Spirit, or what we might call godly grief, what that does is it draws you near God. So the powers of hell are always at work in this spiritual battle to try to drive us away from God and to cause us to condemn ourselves, mm-hmm. whereas the Holy Spirit is always at work drawing you unto the Father. So if you're hearing a voice, I would say to all our listeners, if you're hearing a voice and it's making you feel condemned and doomed and as if you have no right to get in the presence of God, that's not God's voice to you. God is on a mission to bring you closer to His own heart. And so with the spirit of condemnation, there's no real change that takes place. There's just inward shame. But in the conviction of the Holy Spirit and godly grief, there's transformation. And that's what God wants in your life. He's the greatest teacher in the world, and He wants to show you a better way. That's what godly grief is all about.
Thanks for listening today. Visit us online at PastorAllen.org or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. If you only caught part of today's teaching, not only can you listen again online, but also get a daily email devotional that matches today's teaching delivered right to your email inbox free. Find out more about these and other resources at PastorAllen.org. That's PastorAllen.org. Today's Good News message is a listener-supported production of Allen Wright Ministries.